Sanctions on top of sanctions. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The U.S. is ratcheting up economic pressure on Russia, by this time targeting Moscow's ability to make payments on its bonds. Russia has managed to avoid a default on its government or sovereign debt. But the U.S. Treasury has now started blocking Russia's ability to access holdings held at U.S. banks. Marketplace's Nova Safo is here with more. Nova, didn't Washington already block Russia's access to assets?
Well, the answer to that, David, is yes and no. Previous sanctions gave the Treasury Department the authority to do it, but it's been acting on a case-by-case basis. Keep in mind, a default on Russian bond payments could hurt investors in Europe. Russia has a big payment due now, about $500 million worth. The payment is supposed to be in dollars, and the Treasury Department has now blocked Russia from being able to use assets in U.S. banks for that payment.
So is Russia now on a rocket sled toward default?
Well, that's the $500 million question. Frozen assets in Western banks are estimated to make up about half of what Russia has built up in reserves. It probably has another $300 billion worth of assets available to it, not all of it in dollars, though. But yes, likely Russia can make the payments that came due yesterday. It has a 30-day grace period to do so.
Now, if Russia is still able to make the bond payments, what's the Treasury's goal here?
Well, the Treasury Department says it's trying to get Russia to use up more of the reserves it still has access to. They're trying to dry up Russia's ability to fund the war. And we know U.S. officials have met with French and German counterparts over the last couple of days, talking about ways to block Russia from evading sanctions, such as, you know, blocking cryptocurrency transactions. We may learn more about that this week. So it's this continuing effort, David, to ratchet up the economic pressure.
All right, thanks. Europe is out today with a proposal to increase its sanctions on Russia, this with new evidence of Russian atrocities against civilians in Ukraine, acts which could be prosecuted as war crimes. The list includes blocking exports of machinery to Russia and banning Russian cargo transport into the EU by road and by sea. And Russian coal could be banned, even as Russian natural gas continues to flow to Western Europe. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, has more.
A cruel and ruthless war needs the utmost pressure at this critical point. Those are words from European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, speaking a little more than an hour ago about a fifth round of sanctions against Russia. Proposals include a ban on EU imports of coal worth more than $4 billion a year, a full transaction ban on four of Russia's key banks, and further export bans worth more than $10 billion in areas including semiconductors, and potentially sanctions on oil imports. She said the previous four rounds of sanctions have hit the Kremlin's political and economic options. Indeed, fresh data today showed Russia's services sector shrank in March at its fastest pace since May 2020. Companies that took part in the survey said reduced staffing reflected a drop in business confidence. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Pandemic distortions had driven up the cost of shipping cargo, which added to inflation. But look at that. Past month, what it costs to ship containers has fallen by about 12%, according to Drewry World Container Index. There's an index for nearly everything, right? Marketplace's Justin Ho reports on why shipping costs are going down.
Start with the spike in COVID cases in China last month. The country locked down many of its ports and manufacturing hubs.
And that's created a supply outage.
That's Simon Heaney, senior manager of container research at Drewry. He says that means there hasn't been a whole lot to ship out of China recently. So even if consumers are demanding goods,
if you're not able to move goods, it's meaningless. So the ships will be idle. There's not enough goods for them to move, and therefore freight rates will come down.
That shipping slowdown in China has eased up traffic at some U.S. ports. Lisa Elram is a professor of supply chain management at Miami University in Ohio. She says that means ships at the ports of L.A. and Long Beach have had more time to unload.
It's not just that they're no longer waiting and that things are slower, but it's also that that capacity is actually available now for sale in the market.
Another reason for the decline in shipping costs, demand for goods could be stalling. Zach Rogers is a professor of supply chain management at Colorado State University. He says many retailers still have plenty of inventory because they loaded up on it when supply chains were even more congested than they are now.
And so we don't need to place the normal orders that we would probably be placing right now in March and April because we have so much stuff left over from December, January, and February.
Then there's a counterintuitive reason why shipping costs could be declining, the rising cost of fuel. Rogers says trucking prices maybe have increased by too much for some companies.
Whatever the break-even equation is, there's a big piece of shippers that said, you know what, trucks are now too expensive. I'm not even going to contract one out.
And as demand for trucking eases up, the price comes back down.
And you see reports of carrying companies saying, man, loads that we would have rejected for the last 6 months, we are now more than happy to take because we have way less business than we did for all of 2021.
Rogers says the declining price of shipping is a sign that after the surge in demand for consumer goods early in the pandemic, the economy is starting to level out. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
And images of five more women are being added to 25-cent U.S. coins. Bessie Coleman, the pilot, Jovita Idar, journalist and activist, Edith Kanaka-Ole, Hawaiian dancer and teacher, from the world of ballet, Maria Tallchief, also Eleanor Roosevelt. Each will be on one side of coins with a new engraving of George Washington on the other. Now, this George is the work of the late sculptor Laura Garden Fraser, who first submitted this design to a congressional competition back in 1931. Our producers are Rose Conlon, Meredith Gerritsen, Ariana Rosas, Stephen Ryan, Alex Schroeder, and Erica Soderstrom. I'm David Brancaccio, and we are from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.